The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, glad to be with us here on a Tuesday morning. SB Nation AM will have top five and bottom five coming up as week 10 of the NFL season is now come to an end thanks to the Giants beating the 49ers on Monday Night Football. Well done, Eli, in the fourth quarter comeback. So the NBA's Golden State Warriors have an interesting way for fans to go see the game. Well, not really see the game, to just be around the game. They are implementing a $100 monthly pass. That's $100 a month. And if you get this, you can simply just be in Oracle Arena whenever the Warriors play. There's no seat, and there's no even access to just kind of walk around while the game's going on, like trying to find your seat, quote unquote. No, you'll be able to drink, you'll be able to eat in the concourse. You won't be able to see the game live. You can watch it on TV, but if you just want to be in the arena, you just want to be around it, here's a chance for $100 a month you could go to the games. I thought this was stupid at first, and then I went, wait a minute, no, this is actually quite brilliant, because there's a lot of people who want this. There's a lot of people who just want to be around it. They can't afford the tickets, but they just want to be around it. They just want to be in the arena. They'll eat, drink. But here's the other important thing, right? Whenever Golden State gives out their little bobblehead trinkets or come get a replica ring or a T-shirt or whatever they're giving away, you can get one of these if you get this monthly pass. It's not a terrible idea.
That seems tailor-made for LA fans.
Oh, that's very true. You just need to be,
it's like, where were you? I was at the Laker game last night.
I was seen at the Laker game last night.
Because that's all they care about.
I wonder how many NBA teams will follow suit on this. Or are they stealing an idea from an NBA team that already does it that I don't know about? But this seemed like a big deal. I thought this was a pretty good idea. Obviously, you have to limit this, right? You can't just let everybody get this. There's eventually a point where
fire code safety.
There's a fire code, right? You can't just let another 50,000 people roaming the concourse. The Warriors have approximately 44,000 people on their season ticket waiting list. All right, it's pretty deep.
Then you just wait for the Yogi Berra comment. It's too crowded. Yeah. Nobody goes there anymore.
Nobody goes there anymore. That's right. All right, we'll have top five, bottom five coming up next here on SB Nation AM.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us on SB Nation Radio as we do top five and bottom five now that week 10 in the NFL is finished. Let's start with the bottom five, shall we? Let's go 28 all the way to 32.
Oh, my no. Number,
yeah, let's. You want to go? Want to go? Well, you want to go top instead?
This is the top five music. That's why.
All right, yeah, that's right. That's right. This is the top five music. I write. Reverse that. Top five, bottom five. Let's start with the top first. Let's go 5-1. Five on my list. The Los Angeles Chargers at 7-2. I read more after the show about Philip Rivers' car. I still am blown away. Man, what money can do for your life. Philip Rivers is having a great year. The Chargers are good. Listen, it wasn't a blowout of the Raiders. They didn't put up huge numbers, but they win those kind of games. They're winning those kind of games. Boy, they're, again, quiet, but that's the way they're doing it. And I love them. They're 7-2.
It's not a bad choice. For number five for me, I went Steelers. I haven't had them in my top five at all this year. The beatdown that they put on the Panthers on Thursday night, I had to put them in the top five because I removed the team from the top five. So I was like, you know what? These guys were number six for a long time. They deserve a top five spot.
Not
and
bad.
Here's hoping for a week 13 flex.
That's right. A week 13 flex. Number four on my list are the Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-2-1. I really wish it was 7-2. Thank you for the tie against the Cleveland Browns to start the season. You know, this was a team that was once in my bottom five after they lost to the Ravens. And mostly it was because they were really disappointing. They were undisciplined, and offensively they kind of were stalling. And defensively they didn't play very well. Boy, they turned it around. They've won five in a row. They're putting up a tremendous amount of points. 31 a game. Defensively, they're coming along. I love the win against the Panthers Thursday night. It was a really good team. A little bit of home cooking for me, so I put them at four.
Number four for me, I have the Chargers. Everything about this team and just how quiet they've been has been remarkable. They're the second best team in the AFC for going by records. So it's, I don't know. I just hope that there's no peak too soon. I've seen this happen with the Chargers, but the one thing I have on my side is that the Chargers have always been dominant in December. So we're getting to that point where they're going to start becoming dominant in December. I just hope it doesn't flame out by the time we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I like them. I really do. I like their looking at their schedule. I like them. I like what they've got on their schedule. And I hope they do, too, because they're just the spot where they play in a stadium where they don't have any fans. And yet they're really good is another interesting aspect to this. I think it's
yeah, they've had, what, 9 road games this year?
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing it, again, without a 70,000, stadium filled with passionate fans screaming, and yet they're still winning games.
They can win. They can probably, how about this? They make it all the way to the Super Bowl. They won't have any fans there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, people in San Diego go, I would hope so, right?
No.
Descend on Atlanta.
They're like scorned lovers at this point.
No, we're not coming. No, we ain't coming.
I don't care about what my ex-girlfriend trading up. I don't care.
Yeah, it's going to be like the little sliver of Charger fans in the stadium, just a little tiny.
A few powder blue jerseys scattered throughout sea of whoever they're playing against.
Number three on my list, I put the LA Rams. That was a good game against Seattle. Seattle gave them a pretty good fight. But I still like the Rams. Cooper Kupp, though, being out, that's kind of a big deal. We'll see how much of a big deal that is. This game on Monday night against the Chiefs is going to be great. I hope it's great. But even if it's not, like we were talking about before, even if it's not and one team dominates the other, it's still a good narrative for the NFL to have. It's going to be a lot of talking points based on that game. And I love the Rams, and I love them at three.
Yeah, I have the Rams at three as well. It's just one of those, they had a good game against the Seahawks, but it wasn't their normal brilliance.
Yeah, exactly.
That they've had.
Exactly.
And it was a little lackluster. It almost felt like, get that mindset, are the Seahawks actually that good of a team? And you have to start to question. I mean, this is the second time they played them, and Seahawks have played them well both times.
Yeah, that's right. Again, they played them really well in Seattle and played them good in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if the rest of the league is just catching up to what the Rams have been dishing out all season. They're still putting up video game numbers, as far as offense, but that defense, which we thought was just going to be this juggernaut of a defense, number one defense in the league, seems to have slipped a little. And I can't figure out what the reasoning behind it is.
Yeah, that's a good observation, because it hasn't been as stellar. I mean, this is a team early in the season. One of the reasons they were number one because they were undefeated, but they had like top five offense, top five defense. I mean, it looked like everything was working for them, and it's kind of gone, you know, a little bit of mid season slump, and we'll see where they shape out. Number two on my list, I put the Kansas City Chiefs at 9-1. Look, again, this Rams game is going to be big. Patrick Mahomes, we're still talking about this team. We're still talking about him. What he did at the beginning of the season, you know what? If you're a skeptical guy like me and you get a little cynical about stuff like this where you just go, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. But you know what? We're 10 weeks into this bad boy, and he's still making touchdowns. They don't play these games, you know, against the Cardinals. They didn't blow them out. It wasn't 45-10. You know, it was a 26-14 game. But he's still winning games like this. He's still producing in games like this. And you know what? I give him all the credit, because at the beginning of the season, I kept wondering how long this train would last, whether it would get derailed at some point and he'd come back down to earth. And he hasn't. He's got 31 touchdowns this season. They're the second best scoring offense in the league, the fourth best passing offense. They run the ball great. They have Tyreek Hill, who's a threat every time he touches the ball. I love the Chiefs. 9-1. They're number two.
I had the Chiefs at number two as well. Listen, we all knew that the Chiefs they couldn't keep up the pace that they were at.
Yeah,
and we
exactly.
All knew that it was going to taper off. We knew that Pat Mahomes at some point was going to come back down to reality and show us, I mean, for a better term for him, I guess a rookie quarterback. I mean, even though he's not technically a rookie, but you just knew that, okay, he's not going to be able to do this all season long. Teams are going to start to figure this offense out, and they have somewhat. I think defenses are starting to slow them down a little bit. You just can't stop them. And that's the whole thing. That's why they're 9-1 right now, is because you can't stop the Chiefs. I am so looking forward to next Monday night.
Oh, me too.
Because here's the thing. We have, you and I know, and I, we all our top five are exactly the same, except, you know, our four and fives have switched. The Rams and the Rams and Chiefs playing next weekend won't knock either one of those teams out of the top five, unless it's just a massive blowout that, you know, we just did not see coming. One team just, you know, didn't even bother getting on the plane type blowout. I don't see either one of these teams really dropping that far out of our top five. They're going to be there again. That's how good these two teams are.
They did a retro last night on ESPN about the 1990 Giants 49ers Monday night game, where both teams came in with one loss.
Yes.
Late in the season. I think that was around this time, if not maybe close to Thanksgiving, a little after Thanksgiving. I don't really remember the date. But I'm trying to think about the last Monday night game late in the season that carried this much weight with the records. And I'm sure I'll find one in my memory banks, but not right now do I have one.
Not with two teams with just one loss in the season.
9-1 or 10-1 with two teams. Yeah, we've seen good, don't get me wrong, we've seen a lot of good Monday night games, right? A lot of good late season Monday night games. Peyton Manning and Brady, I'm sure, have met one Monday night game or two. I don't know. But you know what I mean? We've seen that kind of, you know, luck and the Patriots or whatever it is. But I don't think we've had 10 weeks into the season, 2-1-loss teams play on Monday night in a long time.
No.
So at least
ESPN
somebody
is
wants
ecstatic.
To jog my memory, but this is as good as a Monday night matchup as you're going to get.
I mean, how much hype is ESPN going to have this week? Because they need to hype it up more than they already are, because they don't have anything.
Yeah,
coming off
right?
A Niners-Giants game
Giants
where each
game.
Team had like one win or two wins. Come on.
Hey, get this one. The Saints are my number one team. They're rolling. They've won 8 in a row, and man, do they look unbeatable. I mean, unbeatable. They put up 35 points in the first half against the Bengals team, and albeit I know the Bengals give up points, that's what they do, but they're the number one scoring offense. Breeze is having a career year at 39 years old, for crying out loud. He's been fantastic. They can run the ball. Their defense is a lot better. And you know what? They didn't need Dez Bryant. Michael Thomas is great. But they got Brandon Marshall, who might fit that role. I think Dez was a better number two than Brandon Marshall. But still, this is apples and oranges. This is not a necessary signing for their success, because they've already got success.
Yeah.
They are in the top 10 in running and passing on their offensive side of the ball, and the defense is playing better.
I mean, the most impressive thing to me about that game on Sunday is that Southern Dome teams do not play well in cold weather.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And, it's cold. It's cold out there, America. It's cold here in Houston. I'm sure it's cold there in Nashville. It's definitely cold in Cincinnati. And the Saints went in there and just did not care about temperature at all. They played like they had been in Green Bay their entire life. And just had no issues moving the ball around, no issues doing executing anything. And the scary thing about them, and again, you know, I know it's a banged up Bengals offense. You know, they're missing a lot of their key players. Their defense seems to be getting better and better each week.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And that's where you start to, you know, when we start talking about the separation in the NFL, we're looking at that going, you know what? This team is on the road to the Super Bowl. I saw a stat yesterday that the Chiefs or the Saints are 5-0 on the road. And the last time they were 5-0 on the road, they won the Super Bowl.
Ah, there you go. You know, they have scored over 40 points in 5 of their 9 games this season. And, you know, it's simple, right? In any sport, score more than the other team. That's all you got to do. And, I mean, you're not going to find many teams in the NFL that can stay with the Saints offensively. Now, we get to the playoffs. Defense tends to sort of even things out, so we'll see. But you're just not going to find teams in the NFL that are built to score 40-something points per game like the Saints are doing it. And if they're doing that against you, you're not going to beat them. If you're letting them do that, you're not going to keep up. You're not going to win 47-46 against New Orleans if you're not built to do that. And the Saints are built to do that. So they're the number one team in our power ranks. We'll come back. We'll do bottom five. A little shift and maybe a new team in the mix. That's coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we did the best of the NFL after 10 weeks. Now here's the worst of the NFL in 10 weeks. We do the bottom five. Top five, bottom five, we do it every Tuesday when the season is, when the week is finally over after Monday Night Football. Number 28, moving all the way up to number 32 on my list. I put the Giants. Despite last night's victory, they're still a team that is flawed, deeply flawed. We'll still have quarterback issues. But the Giants did win last night, so they're not as deep in the bottom five as they should be. But a nice victory nonetheless, albeit it was against San Francisco. There's still a number of problems. Their offensive line did play better last night, but I still find flaws in the Giants, so I still keep them in the bottom five, but only at 28.
At 28, I took a leap here. And honestly, I just don't know what to make of this team. And this team pushed the Giants out of my bottom five. I'm giving the Giants a stay of execution because they won last night.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm drinking the Eli Kool-Aid. I don't know. But at 28 for me, I had the Jaguars.
Ah, they've lost like 6 in a row, 5 in a row, or something.
They've just looked terrible the last month and a half. And they've lost against the Colts. I'm not, you know, and the Colts really don't seem like a juggernaut of a team to me. I guess what this is, the Jaguars represent the AFC South for me, just because it's such a bad division.
Supposed to be so good.
And it was supposed, we had it pegged as this is our must-watch division this year. This was going to be the division everyone's talking about. They have 3.5 teams worthy of a playoff pick, and right now it seems like maybe they have a half of one. But the Jaguars, I don't know, you know, Blake Bortles resorted back to Blake Bortles of old. The offense doesn't seem to really know what they're doing. The defense, which is supposed to be the best in the league, is just, you know, letting people run all over them, pass all over them. I'm at a loss with this team right now.
Number 29 on my list, I put the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. They have lost 4 in a row. They're 3-7. They did not have Sam Darnold in their loss to Buffalo, but it shouldn't have mattered. Matt Barkley doesn't just come in and start chucking 2 touchdowns against you in a 41-10 blowout loss. You don't lose to the Bills who can't find a way to score in any capacity to put up 41 against you. That's embarrassing. I don't care if your rookie quarterback, if you can't win, if you need your rookie quarterback to play in order to be competitive against the Bills, and what kind of team do you have? The Jets are really, really bad. And I fear for Sam Darnold. I hope he gets a good quarterback that'll continue his growth. He's got the skill and the size. He can play in this league. He can develop in this league. But whether he becomes the franchise quarterback for the Jets is going to be based on who they get to replace Todd Bowles, because they're replacing Todd Bowles. The Jets are 29.
You are kind.
Yes.
You are kind to put him there. 29. At 29 for me, I have the Cardinals. Listen, I mean, they have 2 wins on the season. They played well against the Chiefs.
Yeah, they did.
They limited Pat Mahomes to putting up video game numbers, you know, creating that offense and putting video game. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for that.
All right, so you're going to put them at 29.
Putting them at 29.
I put the Arizona Cardinals at 30. I just put them ahead of the Jets, and I probably should have put them, because they at least showed up. They at least gave the Chiefs kind of a game. They tried really hard. And you know what? David Johnson had nearly 100 yards rushing. Where has this been the whole season, for crying out loud, Arizona? They're still not a very good team, but you know what? Hey, you show up and fight, show up and fight. So they did, but not enough to sort of squeeze out of the bottom, but they're 30th.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you guys, you know, this is your participation award for the season.
Yeah, that's it.
That's how I feel.
And Johnson had like 180 something yards, total yards, because he also had 85 yards receiving, if I remember.
Man, if only people could have predicted that he could produce those type of numbers at the beginning of the season.
Exactly. Hmm. He scored their only 2 touchdowns. I didn't know that, because the only reason I know that is because a friend of mine on Twitter went nuts on the David Johnson cashing in finally on fantasy.
Number 30 for me, I have the Niners. Listen, I mean, they made a valiant effort last night, but the valiant effort was really against a really bad team.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, for me, it's like I took the Giants out of the top or out of the bottom five just for this week, because I know they'll be back next week. And keeping the Niners exactly where I had them last week. It's still a bad team. They're not going to get anywhere. They're playing for draft picks at this point. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I like Nick Mullins' effort. I like what, you know, the Niners do have the pieces, but you definitely see that they need Garoppolo back next year to really make any sort of noise.
Yeah, that's where I put the Niners at 31. I didn't want to put them there. I toyed between them and Arizona. I gave Arizona more of a sort of a look because of the game against Kansas City than last night's game against the Giants. San Francisco could easily bump their way to 28 just with another win or two. They've got.
They're not a
right.
bad team.
They're not a bad. They're not a terrible team. But you know what?
It's a bad luck. Team.
This team is just beat up and in the wrong places, especially a quarterback. I like Nick Mullins. I thought it was cool last week what he did against the Raiders, and he didn't look all that terrible last night either. But there's just, they give up way too many points for a team that's built a little bit better defensively than I thought. And you know, they run the ball pretty good, but the reality of it is that they just can't find ways to win. So they're 31 for me.
No, and in a way, you can kind of see Mullins. Mullins is almost like he's auditioning for a starting job somewhere.
Yeah,
I can see him being a starting quarterback. Maybe to the Jaguars, because Blake Bortles obviously can't do it.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job of giving the Niners a piece to trade. I mean, a nice piece to, you know, pick up something in a trade. Because I'm sure they're happy with C.J. Beathard as a backup to Garoppolo. But Mullins is not going to be he's not taking over the starting job. And if he's going to be a backup, C.J. Beathard seems to be fine in that position. So they got a good piece to trade out here.
Well, 31 for me, that's where I have the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Good. I'm glad.
The
I'm glad
whole
you're a
reason
bit more
why you cannot get blown out by a quarterback who doesn't even know the playbook.
Yeah, who barely got to the team.
He was putting on, they were still printing the name or, you know, sewing the name on the back of his jersey as he was arriving to the stadium to play. I promise you that's what was happening.
I think he was getting his insurance license or something like that just to become a salesman before they called him and said, you want to be a quarterback again in the NFL?
I want to believe that, you know, Matt Barkley was not Nick Falco. What was Keanu Reeves? I know the last name was Shane Falco.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I want to believe that he was scraping barnacles off of a boat when they reached out and said, hey, how would you like to play football for a professional football team?
And he was like,
we remember you.
Why not? I'm going to jump in there. Good job.
You know, I thought for sure the defense was going to be able to limit what the Bills could produce. And the defense I don't even think they got off a plane or showed up to the stadium. At this point, I don't even care what the game was. I don't remember. They were just terrible from top to bottom.
Number 32, Raiders.
Yep.
At 1-8. I'm sure you have the same team.
Yeah.
They can't score, and they give up points. They give up over 30 points a game, and they're only scoring 16. And this is a miserable, miserable team that is run by a coach that is driving it into the ground for whatever reason. I get it. If you want to rebuild, rebuild. But, man, they're not even competitive. They scored 3 points against the Niners, 6 points against the Chargers. They can't put numbers on the board. And even when they do put some semblance of numbers on the board, they get blown out by either the Colts or the Rams, wherever else they're playing. They're a non-competitive football team. You could be 1-8 and show guts, or you can be 1-8 and show that you really don't want to be doing this on Sundays, and that's what the Raiders are. They look like they don't want to be doing this on Sundays, even though the players are trying hard, and I'm not accusing them of tanking, but they don't look prepared, and I think that's on Gruden. So they
I mean, last week we were talking about how Vegas came out with numbers that, you know, put Alabama against the worst NFL team, and they gave a point spread.
Yeah.
At this point with the Raiders, I'd almost say that Alabama would beat them, just because I don't think the Raiders would care.
I don't think the Raiders want to win that game anyway. They'd be like, oh, well, if we lose this game, we'll really be tanking. We'll really be showing the world we're ready for the rebuild process.
Yeah, and I think Gruden would spend his entire time on Saban's sideline saying, okay, tell me more about this player. I'm going to take him. I'm going to take this guy. That's my guy.
Exactly. That's my guy. That's my guy. Bottom five on SB Nation Radio.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I said I would bring this up later in the show, and I did. Stan Lee passed away at 95 years old. The kind of the comic book inventor of some of the iconic comic book characters that most of us grew up with, including Spider-Man, Hulk, Fantastic Four, X-Men, even Doctor Strange. What's remarkable is that, one, he's been doing it. He passed away at 95. He's been doing it since 1939. But, you know, he's, when you think about the multimedia of the kind of outreach of Marvel Comics, right? Like when I was younger, we used to have a thing called Saturday morning cartoons, which seems to be a foreign thing. I don't think they do those anymore.
No. Well, because it's just, there's kids' channels now, so they just go there.
They don't have to do that. So network TV would, you know, have morning cartoons. And
got us up out of bed.
This was the best. You'd wake up on Saturday mornings, you would eat your sugary cereal, and you would watch cartoons until like 11 o'clock.
Until you got kicked out of the house.
Wonderful. Yes.
Let's call it what it is. Until you got kicked out of the house.
In my house, it was when American Bandstand came on with Dick Clark. Yep. That's when you realized, well, it's starting to die down a little bit. We better move on to the outdoors.
Or Solid Gold.
Yeah, or Solid Gold. But there was a show, like the first time I heard of Stan Lee, it was a cartoon called Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, like Firestar and Iceman. And Stan Lee did the voice for it at the beginning of the show. He's like, this is Stan Lee. And that's how I knew who he was as a kid. And of course, as I got older, I realized, oh my God, he's the guy that invented all this stuff. And as I collected comic books, I realized this is the guy that did all of this. But when you think about where the movies are and what a risk, because comic book movies weren't always successful. Like now we just assume they will be, right? If you get a good comic book story and a good comic book movie, we just assume that it'll make $1 billion at the box office. That wasn't always the case.
No,
there
not
have
at
been
all.
Plenty of flops in the movies based on comic books, right?
Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil movie stunk. I mean, it was just
like there was a Punisher movie that just was like, it's not really that great.
Yeah, and plus there was an earlier version of Fantastic Four that is one of the worst movies ever made. And then the newer ones were
not,
okay.
Not the Jessica Alba version.
No, not those versions. I mean,
there was
you're talking
one before that.
Like
that
in
was
the early 90s where it was just really bad.
You just ignored it. I don't think it ever existed. I think that's how they want to see it now.
Exactly. So they've had these movies. They've had movies of these comic books, and they weren't box office successes. So you imagine the risk that he was taking when he moved out to Hollywood to say, oh, we're going to start a movie division. We're trying to get these things on film and see where they go. And then X-Men came out, and that was kind of popular. And then let me tell you what, I remember when Iron Man came out, and I remember thinking no one's going to see it because I don't think anybody knew or cared about Iron Man, the comic book character. I didn't think anybody was a fan of Iron Man, and it became one of the biggest ones he had in the library.
Yeah, and then it was, you know, who's he coming up with next? What's coming up next? And he come out with Captain America. I was like, yes!
Yeah, oh, random.
I didn't know I really wanted to see this.
Exactly. I was like, wow, I get to find out the origins of Captain America, a superhero I didn't really know anything about, right? But
except he carried a cool shield.
But the biggest surprise for me by 1,000 miles was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon, other than I remember seeing it like vaguely, but I didn't know anything about it. And I remember seeing the previews for it going, all right, that's a risk. That's a gamble. But and I went to see it and I loved it. I mean, I loved it. My whole family loved it. It was great. And, you know, Stan Lee was always in these in little brief cameos and whatnot.
Yeah, but then it's also, you know, when they decided to do Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange.
I thought like, how is that going to really work? We're used to, by that time, we've already had Avengers. We had these superheroes that, you know, really fight hand-to-hand combat. And that's what I think, you know, it was like, oh, that's what we wanted. We wanted all this action. We wanted to see them destroy the bad guy. And then you have Doctor Strange, who is all mental.
Yeah, it's
like, how is that going to work?
Yeah, exactly.
And that was phenomenal. I was like, wow, my God, I'm sucked into this one too.
And here's the other thing. And I remember thinking years and years ago when I started realizing that Stan Lee had created Spider-Man and the X-Men and Fantastic Four. And I remember thinking to myself, why isn't this guy a trillionaire? like, why isn't he the richest guy who has ever lived in the world? And then you start realizing how things work in the business world. You end up working for a company and you know, intellectual property, all of those things. But to think he created all of that stuff, like all
the Marvel Universe,
And he created it. I mean, Spider-Man. Think about Spider-Man for a second and sitting down at a drawing board or whatever that is called in the comic book world and coming up with a concept of a teenager getting bit by a radioactive spider, having spider powers, and then also saying, but he's not going to be like other superheroes. He's going to be like a student and he's going to deal with being an irresponsible kid and his backstory when his uncle got shot and then taking, you know, realizing he had to do something, but still struggling with that. Like I said earlier, his characters were flawed. Tony Stark was a raging alcoholic in the comic books, right? I mean, his characters were flawed that dealt with things that were like that normal people would deal with. So he didn't take the superhero, the alter ego of the superhero, if you will. He didn't make them larger than life. He made them normal that had these superpowers and then learned how to deal with them. And I think that was kind of cool. He one time was in a documentary about, and I saw him talk about the transition from when they used the comic books to sort of spread the American ideal. Remember, like Captain America fighting Nazis and, you know, just using that sort of the comic book to do that. And then they talked about how 9/11 was so tough because so many of the Marvel characters were based in New York. And so they did these comics with 9/11, like this was a real life event that transitioned into the comic books and how each superhero dealt with that tragedy. And he talked about how there was such a change because whereas we knew, like he talked about that we knew the enemy, but it was difficult to write a comic where like Captain America would go, we're going to get you Muslim terrorists. Like that just didn't feel right. Like it did in World War II. And that's a really profound way to sort of see, to sort of write a comic book and keep up with sort of the way America was thinking or the way the trend was. And to think about him, you know, 9/11 was what, 17 years ago? He died at 95, which means he was in his upper 70s and he's putting this together. Find a guy who's in their 70s and 80s and find a guy who's willing to sort of adjust their thinking like that. That's very hard to do. That's hard to do for me in my mid-40s. Are you kidding? I still cling on to certain things. I can't imagine being so set in your ways in 70s and 80s, but yet he realized the audience is adapting and I got to adapt with it. I got to go with a different flow. I got to start incorporating some other messages into the comics that's sort of, you know, appealing or the way people are thinking. And that's a very profound thing. I think he was kind of brilliant in that way because he didn't set himself up. And it's kind of sad because I think all of us who, I mean, I collected comics. I mean, I had a paper route. I used my money to buy cards and comics. I mean, it was basically what I did. I put my money on comics.
When they decided to start making the movies, you know, we were all skeptical because of the trash they put out there ahead of time. But I think what really worked out well for them was that technology cut off to what they wanted to do. And that's where it finally all made sense, because I think that was part of the hokiness of Fantastic Four, the original, because it was definitely, you could tell that, the technology's not there.
Yeah, it's just, you can't create a movie
I remember the first time I watched Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. And, you know, I'm not saying that Tobey Maguire, for me, I like the new kid, Tom Holland, playing Spider-Man.
I think he's great.
But what really grabbed me was the special effects. When Spider-Man is just flying through the air with the greatest of ease.
Yep.
that to me was like, man, how did they pull that off? It's like, it looks so real. It looks so natural for him to be doing that right now. I just didn't, I don't understand computers in that way. Like, how you can do that. It's amazing.
It really is impressive. And they're just putting out hit after hit after hit. And I think people, you know, there's already a countdown clock for Avengers 4. Like, it's just people, you know, the Infinity Wars came out, the way it ended.
Yeah, see, this is what I was thinking yesterday. I was like, I hope he filmed a scene already.
Yeah, I think he did. I think I saw where he probably did.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
You know, because they're also coming out with the newer Spider-Man movie next summer as well.
Yeah, I guarantee you, if you're in a theater and you see Avengers 4 and his cameo come up, people will clap.
People
clap in the middle of the movie.
And I will probably put solid money on this, and Vegas would not give me odds on it, that they're at the end of Avengers 4, whatever the next Marvel movie is going to be, it'll probably have, you'll just fade to black, rest in peace, Stan Lee.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Or Stan Lee or something like that.
I'm wondering if, because I've been seeing on Facebook social media and Twitter as well, that there already have been cartoon drawings of the superheroes, Spider-Man wrapping his arms around Stan Lee's gravesite and some other superheroes, bowing their head. And I'm wondering if that is incorporated in the film at the end, where guys who draw stuff to commemorate Stan Lee, because that's what, in the end, that's what he really was.
Yep.
That's what he was. He was a cartoonist, right? I mean, at his core, that's what he was. He was a writer. He's a comic book writer, cartoonist. That's what he did. I'm wondering if they end up doing something like that, just getting back to his roots, because it's pretty remarkable, pretty remarkable life. I mean, listen, 95 years old and was still chugging along, still was doing this.
Not only that, but I mean, he kept it real on his personal life as well. He was married to his wife. I want to say I read somewhere, I think it was 65 years or something.
That's great.
Something obscene. It was just outrageous.
God bless him.
And married all the way up until she passed away.
Yeah.
And she passed away at 95, but that was a couple of years ago.
Wow. Great. Wow. It's amazing. Well, 95 and really, really, I mean, again, 1939, was in the business since 1939. Didn't retire, kept rolling along. I know, right? All of the trends, everything you've seen, everything that he's done, everything he's been a part of, right? I mean, he's worked longer than people have been alive. I mean, senior citizens have been alive, I should say. I shouldn't say alive because most of us have done that. But he's worked at the same place longer than guys who are collecting Social Security now have been alive. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So rest in peace, Stan Lee.
You know, I guess one person can make a difference. Enough said.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know how it's kind of the rule, Ron, like former presidents don't really talk about the current president? that's seated. You know, they try not to. Like Bush didn't want to say anything bad about Obama, and I guess they're all kind of taking their shots at Trump. But nevertheless, it's usually the rule that once you're out of the presidency office, you kind of let the current president do its thing without any criticism. That doesn't extend to NFL head coaches, because Rex Ryan yesterday was ripping Todd Bowles. And no problems doing so. He said the loss of the Bills was one of the most humiliating defeats in Jet history, and then said they're going to blow it up, and I hope they get it right. Bring somebody in who understands the community, get that kind of passion, and relate to the fan base and all that, and never, ever have a performance like this again. Wow. It's one thing to say that a coach is, like, losing the players or maybe made some bad play calls. He's accusing Todd Bowles of not being a member of the community? Is that really fair?
Are you thinking he was angling for a position somewhere?
Maybe so much. Rex Ryan.
Reminding the Jets, hey, you didn't have it this good.
Yeah, remember when I had Mark Sanchez and we actually beat the Patriots? I had you to the AFC Championship game a couple of times. My God.
Yeah, let me at that Darnold kid.
God, does Rex Ryan want to get back in the league, or does he like doing what he's doing?
I think he wants to get back in the league.
I think he does, too.
And I think if he did, he'd be much more successful than John Gruden.
I do, too. Listen, I like Rex Ryan. I don't know... Like, you know, look, I think he's hilarious and he's not bad, but it's weird to see him kind of go after a coach on a team that he used to coach, but you know, that's his job now. It's like, you know, Merrill Hodge, I love Merrill Hodge as a football player, but like, it's hard to have that job when your whole purpose of existence is to say things that are different from everybody else. Right. So if you're an analyst, they bring you in to cover NFL football, and you come in and they go, hey, what do you think of the Giants, right? And you're like, well, you know, they're just struggling right now, but there's a bunch of good football players on that team that just need to find a way to come together and do the best they possibly can to win. You'll be out of a job by Tuesday if you do that. Like, that's not how that works. Like, you got to say something like, what do you think of the Giants? Well, I think everybody from the top on down should be fired and pretty much deported out of the country. Like, those are the kind of things you have to say, because the more crazy you sound, the more different you sound. And then, you know, so I'm not necessarily surprised by this, because Ryan has a job of being different, make some news, you know, get the pot boiling. But, you know, he had no problems. Listen, again, I don't know what Todd Bowles, I mean, I lived in New Jersey. I don't know if Todd Bowles is active in the community or not, or if he helps out the communities. I don't know, but I don't know. Like, somebody who understands the community, what does that mean? He's supposed to help build housing? What does that mean? Go to the schools? He's supposed to give the kids backpacks full of supplies? What does that mean? What is he talking about? The Jets community? Is there such a thing as a Jets community? Like, be a little bit more specific. What do you want Todd Bowles to do in the community? It's one thing you want to criticize him as a coach. He can't coach. He doesn't know the X's and O's well enough, or he doesn't know his players well enough. But, I mean, my daughter played at a soccer field that was named after Todd Bowles, and I'm sure he built the City of Elizabeth. Or at least had constructed and helped out in the City of Elizabeth. I thought that was doing something for the community. But I'm not sure what Rex Ryan means. SB Nation Radio.